this, our goal in being involved in any of this, is it's got to go back to the manufacturers.
Welcome to MassMEP's manufacturing podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there's some element to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding inefficiencies, strengthening internal processes, or unlocking growth, that can extend the firm beyond its current limitations.
Thank you for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. This is episode 2 of Manufacturing Pipeline. We had a 2-part series because of all the content that became available from our guests, Sean Killam, Wendy Storm, and Karen Myhaver, all parts of the manufacturing pipeline at MassMEP. Here we will pick up where Wendy Storm is talking to us regarding the MACWIC credentialing process. Let's begin. So obviously we work with manufacturers. So how important is this MACWIC credentialing for students that want to become certified and for manufacturers? Like how important is this for both sides of it?
You know, manufacturing, machine tool tech within the vocational school system is an interesting track compared to all the others because there's no other vocational track that doesn't have standard several pieces of paper, several different types of certifications and credentials that you walk out with. And for manufacturing, there really aren't that many. So I think it's incredibly valuable for the manufacturing community to, you know, have someone come in with that piece of paper that says they really do have the basic skills that they need for an entry-level job, and that's equally valuable for a student. So I think it's very valuable to continue, you know, finding ways to make it work, because it really does help reduce the rate of turnover within the industry, and that's really a big issue.
So yeah. So it's extremely, so for manufacturers that, you know, that don't know that it exists, it does exist. You know, we seem to get that question quite a bit, where you'll hear them say there needs to be some form of certification or credentialing. And we always say, we kind of put our hands up and go, there is, you need to talk to Wendy.
So yeah, I feel like I'm the best kept secret.
it's great. And it gives, so obviously you have your, you know, I mean, the common theme here between all three of you is students and schools, but there's different paths, obviously. You know, you have the paths where some kids, it is an academic side, and then you have the kids that they are more successful in doing things along these lines, where they want to do things with their hands and they want to do, you know, the CNC and all that stuff. So having this opportunity out there for them, it's huge. And getting that message out and letting them know that it exists, that's what we're here for, and that's what we're doing, and that's why you do what you do, every reach out. And we all know in the office that this is your busiest time of the year for you. The spring season, you're kind of, we don't really see you a whole lot because you're in every school possible to get this done. So I'm sure this is probably hurting you a little bit.
This time of year, I'm usually working at a different school, if not two, every single day between March, April, May, all the way into early June.
Yeah.
So my world came to a screeching halt in March. I had only gone to a handful of schools before all of this came crashing down. So it's definitely been an adjustment, and I really miss seeing everyone. You know, I really enjoy this time of year professionally, because it is the time of year when I get to really one-on-one work with the students, work with the teachers, and see what has happened over the course of the year, and see, it's always nice when you go in because the students are excited to show you what they've been working on. And I've been doing this now for 5 years. So I've worked with some of these students the whole time they've been in school. So my head is really with the seniors this year, and it's a big change for sure.
Yeah, it sure is. And I'm going to transition kind of in Karen. So Karen, you kind of are dabbling with this a little bit as well. So you're our manufacturing, your career coordinator. And I guess for you, I want to have you give us a little bit of insight of what you do and how you've been handling this. But I know you and I have had some conversations, and some of the things that you've done where you've had to go virtual are impressive. And it seems that it's going to be the way, as of at least for right now in our quote unquote new normal, that is going to be more of a virtual world. So what are you, give us a background of what you do and what you've been doing for the past couple of months.
So I developed the Manufacturing Your Career program a few years ago to help bridge the gap between manufacturing and education, because as we all know, there still is a lot of unknown in the rest of the world as far as what manufacturers do, what it's all about, how great the career opportunities are in manufacturing. So we needed to educate educators and guidance counselors and, of course, the students and their parents about what is manufacturing and, hey, this is a great opportunity for your kids to grow into. There are loads of these people think that you have to go to school to be an engineer. And, you know, then they really don't think about the fact, okay, if you're an engineer, where do you use that? 9 times out of 10, it's in manufacturing. So they're not putting the pieces together. You know, the student has to go into engineering, but that's also in manufacturing. As part of the Manufacturing Your Career program, if you will, I developed the database. And the database was just something that would help, you know, we list all these manufacturers on there and websites and information about them and links to their various videos and things like that. And a contact that a student or a teacher can reach out to directly at the company and say, hey, could we come in and tour? Could we, you know, would you be able to provide a mentor? Would you come to our career fair? Do you have entry-level jobs or internships available? So that was how that resource was initially developed and why, and it continues to grow and we add more companies to it. I mean, I'd love to get every company in the state on board. That would be nice. Because then trying to get that resource out to the schools, you know, you've got to get them use it. You can build it. Will they come, right? So then we get it out to the schools through their guidance counselors and things like that. And slowly but surely, I have been getting traction that way. I've had more companies reach out to me to be part of it, but also schools saying, hey, you know, we'd like to get involved with this. Could you come and do a career fair? Could you help us find internships and everything else? And so that's sort of been growing on its own. I will say, to echo what Wendy said, the seniors have been sort of become the focus over the past few months, especially because the floor dropped out from under them. Yeah. And we've got a lot of kids who, as it turns out, you know, if they're not going on to college or they don't have plans to go into the military, they need jobs and they need good jobs. And I'm not trying to be nasty when I say, you know, you don't want to work in retail or flipping burgers for your life. You want to go somewhere where you can actually develop skill sets and work your way up. And manufacturing is one of those industries.
Yeah.
So I am all over the place right now with different projects. And that's sort of, it's fun because it's not boring. I've been involved with the Innovation Pathways program in the Worcester school system now for the past several years. And I'm part of their advanced manufacturing team. And we work with the 7 schools in Worcester, the 7 major high schools in Worcester. And we were, was very involved in helping them connect with manufacturers, getting tours and different presentations for the kids at the manufacturers, and also had helped get a lot of good internship opportunities together for the spring and summer, which for the most part went down the tubes. Yeah. As part of that group, we were sitting in a meeting one day and I said to them, what about all the seniors in the 7 schools who aren't planning on going to college? What are we doing for them? And they, you know, nobody knew. And so we then developed a sub-team and we started putting together a giant job fair for all the students from the 7 schools. And it was going to be held at Worcester Technical High School in April. And as you notice, I said was.
I was just about to ask.
We had a really good response. We had lots of manufacturers who were on board, and everything was lovely. And I had started developing sort of a worksheet handout. The unfortunate thing, as Wendy knows, when you're dealing with technical high school students, part of what they do, because they often are able to go out on co-op, they develop portfolios and they have resumes. They do some of that as part of their preparation. A lot of times in the regular high schools don't have time to do it or haven't done it. So a lot of these kids from the comprehensive schools, they had nothing. They have no idea about how to go about getting a job, writing a resume, any of that. So once the job fair itself went by the wayside, I got together with a couple of people from the group and I said, hey, let's do something that we can present them, a resource for the kids. So we created a virtual resource, if you will. It's a PowerPoint presentation, but it has connections to videos and white papers and all sorts of things, plus the all the different manufacturers. I've been soliciting everybody who was on the manufacturing link and saying, hey, send me your entry-level jobs, and we're posting them. And because they come from different regions, I developed quite a few for Central Mass for the Worcester kids, but then I've been able to do offshoots for some other you know, communities as well. And when I have a job come in for a region that we don't necessarily have something going in, I will call the schools and get a hold of people and send it right out to them and say, hey, you have some high school students who need jobs, here's a job. So, you know, that's been something that has been working quite well. And because of that, I've had Acton, Boxborough, and a couple of other schools now are going to have me be involved in the fall in manufacturing programs, whether they're virtual or not, because they know they need to be able to assist their high school seniors for the next years in getting jobs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been doing a lot of matchmaking, trying to regionally help the local companies connect with the high school seniors who need jobs.
It sounds to me kind of like, I was going to ask you that, like, so manufacturers, obviously, there are some with maybe advanced manufacturing that have a lot more technology, but are some of the manufacturers, I'm sure this is probably just as difficult with them, and it's kind of like, you're that connection, you're that exactly. link in between them that's bridging, like you said, you're bridging them, the education to the manufacturers. So have you noticed some of the manufacturers have tried to adjust a little bit too as well with technology wise to be able to, you know, have more access to these incoming students or, you know, up for the education side of it?
It's funny. There's two different polar opposites going on right now. There are a lot of the companies that have been able to continue working and maybe are producing PPE, they are sort of desperately seeking bodies, and they're not necessarily looking for a lot of skill sets. They will take entry level because a lot of it's assembly and things, you know, here's a mask, we need you to assemble.
Yeah.
A lot of the companies who have not been able to continue working and are shut down, they've got their own issues right now keeping their own people afloat. So they're not really interested in bringing new kids on board or new employees on. But I think as they ramp up, a lot of companies have positive thoughts. They're going to be ramping up and they're talking about, well, you know, talk to us next month or the next month and we'll get an ad together and put it in the guide for the kids because we will be needing to ramp up.
Yeah.
So that's good.
So do you see, like, you know, Karen, you said about like doing a virtual job fair. What about like interview processes and, you know, putting together even a resume now, your resume really, you don't have a paper resume anymore. And I think we were transitioning over to that way before anyway, but yeah, for an interview, you know, who would have maybe a phone call, you know, before you do a phone call and then you do face to face. But do you have to prep them differently for that? Or how are you looking at that side of it?
That's a difficult thing. Especially when they don't have any background in any of this. They don't know what they're doing, how to start, how to begin. You know, yeah. When you get that sentence, when you get that question, now tell me about yourself. I'm saying to them, they do not want to know your favorite team and what, you know, how you like your coffee. They want to know what you can do for their company.
Right.
And those are the kinds of things that, you know, unless you have somebody tell you that, you don't know that as an 18-year-old. You don't know
right.
that. So, you know, you're talking about virtual things, all these, you know, everything and transitioning to the virtual. We also, right now, John Grigland and I are sort of in a holding pattern where we have a NEBA grant that's the New England Business Associates, and they work with people with disabilities, and they created this Learn to Earn program, and it's an 8-week program, 5 weeks of their training, helping individuals with disabilities, and they're young people, they're 18 to 24, learning social skills and everything that they'll need in manufacturing. And then John and I are going to go in for 3 weeks and do the basic manufacturing skills. Now, this usually requires me going out for an orientation, and then we meet the different candidates, and then we have to do basic math and English skills testing. So Matt just helped us recently. We've got to put that testing online, and we're going to do very similar to what Wendy was saying. We're going to invite small groups into a Zoom meeting, and we need to proctor the test while we're on the Zoom meeting so we can make sure everybody's doing things and nobody's looking at, you know, at books or using a calculator.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, we have to do that a whole different way. Usually we would take a group of, you know, 30 people and do a presentation and people stay there and take the test at the end. And now we have to sort of bring small groups in. But we're making it happen, and that's the key. We have to get the program starting in July and then another one in October, and we've got to fill those seats and get the people trained and get them out working.
Yeah.
You know, we had Commonwealth Corporation contacted me. I've been involved in their YouthWorks programs for the past several summers. I did mentoring, and I did some panels and everything else, and they said, hey, we need to pick your brain. How are we going to do manufacturing training this summer if we're going to do it virtually? Because in the past, I'd help them get some internship placements.
Yeah.
You know, so we've had that discussion with them. Everybody at every level is having qualms about what to do next and how to make it happen. But they liked suggestions, so hopefully that's going to happen. I also, the one good thing, Project Lead the Way, I've been involved with as a judge for them for the past several years for different students programs. And that's, you know, a lot of hands-on project learning. And I am a virtual judge. They've been sending me projects every few months anyway. They do this virtually. So along with the big shows that they have where everybody goes to Boston and displays their projects, virtual judging is something that has continued. So I'm still virtually judging those, but So as you see, there's a lot of different things going on for all different ages. And I think the thing is we have to take a lot of the lead from what's going to happen in September. What kind of, you know, the schools are going to have to put priority on what they think they need to focus on. And that's what's happening, too, with a lot of the seniors. They have a few weeks left of school. And, you know, do they have time to talk to us or whatever? Why these packets, if you will, the resources for the kids with the jobs, it's something that they can have. If they have someone to guide them through it, that's fine, but it also provides the information that they can guide themselves through it.
Right.
And hopefully it's better than nothing. Hopefully it helps them more than, you know, than just trying to go it alone.
And like I said earlier, having the plan and knowing, it sounds like where you're going with all of this, Karen, and what you're doing. And obviously the link that's on our website, trying to get as many of the manufacturers in there as possible, because we have spoken to some of them that will have those openings and they still will need to get those people in there. We see this, there's quite this generation gap that happens. You know, we've got this huge gap right now that's, we're trying to make that gap smaller. You know, like we've been flattening the curve with COVID-19 for the past 2 months, yet we at MassMEP are trying to tighten this gap up with getting, as the aging workforce is moving out, getting the people behind it. And that's what the three of you actually have been doing, and which is why you're the pipeline. You know, Sean, Wendy, and Karen are the pipeline. We have, you know, Sean works with a lot of the kids that are in the younger age group, and he's hitting them as young as eighth grade. And we're also, I think the other thing is we're trying to bust this myth of manufacturing and what it is and where it's headed. And I mean, I've only been, you know, I've been doing manufacturing for a while in my career, but being a part of these and watching each of your paths intersect with each other and cross over and see where manufacturing is heading with advanced manufacturing and the stuff that Sean's doing with, you know, like, and what you're saying, you know, an engineer today may be somebody different in a manufacturing facility where these machines don't run on their own. You have to know how to program these machines to make them work. So the days of the dark, dingy, dirty, it doesn't exist anymore. You know, manufacturing today is a completely different world in how it's headed. So I'm gonna wrap things up with each of you guys, but I'm gonna ask each of you a question for moving forward. And I guess, what is the one silver lining that each of you have gained from in your areas of expertise and where you all are in this path? What is the silver lining that you've all seen or you've gained from this in the past couple of months that probably will help you moving forward? Sean, you want to start? Sure. Or did I catch you? You're kind of like, you're thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
I can see the whales going. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
We really haven't missed a beat from our program's perspective, in that we're continuing to move forward with our ultimate mission, which is introducing the next generation to the career opportunities of the future in advanced manufacturing.
Right.
But what has really been revealed to me is the power of our relationships and partnerships with the folks that we're collaborating with to make all this happen.
Yeah.
This group is really strengthened and gathered to continue on with the mission, notwithstanding all of the struggles that we're all dealing with today. We're working closely with MIT and also UMass, as well as all of the, you know, school districts throughout Massachusetts. And then, of course, we have the Manufacturing USA Institutes that have been pivotal to make this happen. So really, to see everybody come together has been absolutely fantastic, to have their support and to know that they're going to be there notwithstanding is really meaningful. And I think that really resonates with the schools too. They know that we're a trusted resource to them, and we'll continue to develop these partnerships moving forward into the future.
Perfect. All right, Wendy, you had your hand up. I saw you there.
Well, I think for me, one of the things I found is that this has really helped across the state in the vocational realm with the standardization. You know, and one of the reasons MACWIC credentialing came to be is because many of the manufacturers were hiring from multiple vocational schools in their region, and they would often find a really vast array of skill sets, and it was difficult for them to find consistency in some areas. So having more teachers engage with me to utilize some of the supplemental curriculum resources that we do have available for them has been good. I think, you know, like I said earlier, a lot of teachers, they have a plan, and they're great with it, but this has really forced them to look at a few different things and open up some of the curriculum resources that they hadn't needed previously, and really been able to find some things that will help them. And that in turn helps the manufacturing community in the end, because it really does increase the overall standardization. So,
yeah. Karen, how about for you?
Well, our goal in being involved in any of this it's got to go back to the manufacturers. I mean, we can do all we can to help them grow and make their organization healthy and ready to move forward. But if they don't have the people, then, you know, it's for naught. So that's why we got involved with the schools and the young people. I feel that over the past few years, I'm starting to reap the rewards of the connections and the partnerships. You know, people are saying, hey, you know, let's invite Karen in. Let's talk to her about it. Let's ask her opinion. And it makes me feel good, because Mass MEP is at the table.
Yeah.
In a lot of these different areas where we might not have been before. So the partnerships are key. And you know, keeping us Mass MEP on their minds. That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time. Obviously, by the sounds of what we've all just or what you've actually just allowed everybody to hear, little snippets of your day. It sounds like you're all pretty busy. So thank you, Sean, Wendy, and Karen for joining us today. The whole point of the podcast was to kind of give, you know, the future of manufacturing and for us for filling in the pipeline with the students that are, you know, K-12 and, you know, a little bit beyond that as well, possibly into adult ed. You three obviously are the pipeline, and this is a way for, you know, to show how to get, you know, students interested in manufacturing careers and introducing them to the companies in our backyards and making sure that they have the credentials that they need to start working. Thank you all for joining us today for the Manufacturing Podcast with Mass MEP. This was our podcast episode, Manufacturing Pipeline. Please join us next week for our next episode in the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast. Join our channel anytime by visiting us at massmep.org. You can subscribe today.
Thank you so much for listening to Mass MEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. To listen to more of Mass MEP's podcasts or for more information on how Mass MEP, your resource for manufacturing greatness, can help you, please visit massmep.org.